Good morning. Good morning and welcome to this Fusion Sunday here at Gates Presbyterian Church. On the last Sunday of every month, we do our best to create a worship opportunity that is fully inclusive of all ages and wherever you are in your faith journey. So you'll be able to connect to worship this morning through song and spoken word, prayer, and also movement and prayer stations, which you will see set up. A reminder for caregivers with young children. They are with us in worship throughout the entire experience this morning. Make sure they're fully included, that they have a bulletin, have a chance to pass the offering plate, and can also see those hymnals when we sing. A lot going on following worship today. We do have our annual congregational meeting that will take place down in Fellowship Hall. There's always a little bit of confusion about that. So the order of events is worship, obviously. Head on down to Fellowship Hall. We're going to eat first. It's okay if you did not bring something. Don't worry, we've always got plenty. Stay and enjoy a bit of lunch. We'll get started quickly, move into the annual meeting, and then following the annual meeting, everyone is welcome to stay for what is called beta training, ministry in progress, as we continue to live into the new ways in which God is calling us to mission and ministry. All right, one other announcement for folks who have not yet brought in any supplies for the Jamaica Basic School or the Theodora Project. You do have a chance to do that. You can run over to Big Lots or the Dollar Store or Tops and pick up some items. I'll be here until 3 o'clock today, or you can bring them tomorrow as well. But I do need them by tomorrow. We've got to get those suitcases packed. We're heading out here soon, folks, so your prayers also appreciated. A few announcements as we get going this morning. Barb.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Barb Snaith, and I'm the moderator for our deacons team, and I'm here representing Bruce Taylor, who's our fellowship coordinator. This year, our deacons have been reduced in amount, and we occasionally will need people to help us with setting up the coffee and the punch and then serving afterwards. What Bruce has done is he's put a list of all our dates on the kiosk with a sign-up sheet. So if anybody, even people that have been deacons before, it's a lot of fun. It's very easy. So some teams have two. Some, you know, we need people as much as we, you know, we need help sometimes. So if anybody feels inclined to help us out, please sign up on the kiosk. Thanks.
Morning, everybody. We are starting our fourth annual GPC night with the Amricks. The date we have is Sunday, March 20th at 5:05 p.m. It's against the Providence Bruins. Tickets will be $14 each. I was promised we'll be sitting right along the ice, so we'll be right up close. Me or Gary will be down in the fellowship hall starting today to take information or, you know, money for the tickets. We'll be doing that till Sunday. Looks like we started on the 7th, and we'll stop ticket sales on the 20th of March that day. So it's a great time. Hope everyone can make it. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. The junior highs. Next weekend, we will be having our annual lock-in with connection to Super Bowl Sunday. What does that mean for the congregation? Our bright-eyed and bushy-tailed junior highs will be standing outside the doors as you come in to service next weekend, and we would love to collect your cans of soup or your donations. Please check out the information in the bulletin this morning and help us out with this mission project. Thank you.
And also a big thank you for all the folks who helped provide food and also your time yesterday to prepare and serve the meal at Reach, the homeless shelter that GPC has been a big part of in the last few months. So thank you to everyone who did that. And now, friends, let us gather our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Please stand as you're able and join in the call to worship. All creation proclaims the love of God. The light of God shines on with us with new hope. Open our hearts, O Lord, to see your light and live in your hope. Prepare us for service to all your people and to this world.
We join together in a time of confession. Please join me in the litany prayer of confession in your bulletin. Love is patient and kind. Lord, it is hard to be patient when there is so much we need and want to do. When other people slow us down, it is easy to forget to be kind. Love is not jealous or conceited or proud. But we are, God. We look at some people and think we are better than they are. We look at other people and feel jealous of what they have and what they can do. Forgive us. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. But we often blurt out rude, hurting names and accusations almost before we know what we are saying. Help us learn to think before we speak. Love does not keep a record of wrongs, but we remember even those wrongs we have really tried to forgive. We remember them and bring them up when we are angry or when we want our own way. We use them to hurt even the people we love. Help us to forgive. Love is not happy with evil. Love is happy with the truth. But it is hard not to take secret delight when people get what they have coming to them. Teach us compassion, God. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. But we give up easily. We give up on other people. We give up on ourselves. We give up on making a difference. We lose hope that anything will ever be any different. Forgive us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear this about God's great love. God is patient and kind. God does not keep a record of our wrongs. God does not remember our failings at loving, but is happy about every one of our successes. God never gives up on us because God's love is forever. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fails.
Today's first reading of the Word comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
Thank you.
Second reading of the word today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful, and it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for the prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. But we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. But then, and now I know only in part, and then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And for faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. A few weeks ago, the New York Times ran an article, 15 Ways to Be a Better Person in 2016. So just in case you've already walked away from your New Year's resolutions, this article offers up a few ideas to keep us going. Health and well-being always seem to top the list for folks. These are a little interesting, though. Drink coffee. No problem there.
Do you drink a lot of coffee?
No, not a lot of coffee. Okay, so not so much for the kids. Toss the cigarettes, no problem. Make sure you are the boss of your electronic devices. I've got some work to do on that one. Or get a pet. We've got like half a dozen at my house in case anyone needs to borrow one. And the list goes on. I'm not really sure how clothing fits into this, but dress in a way that makes you feel powerful. And really, a favorite of mine, wear comfortable underwear. Relationships and love rank up there, too. Be nice to babies, especially on airplanes. Hear that? Anyone who is traveling over February break, an important piece of advice. Be generous to those who have helped you. Not sure why this doesn't include people who haven't helped you, but a sermon for another day. And here is a really interesting one. stare into the eyes of someone you love or want to love for exactly 4 minutes. Not two, not three, four. Are we ready to give that a try? That'd be a real short sermon. No, I'm just kidding. But I guess you could pick that up as a prayer station if you decide to stay in your pews. Because apparently 2 minutes is just enough to terrify people, but four minutes creates that closeness needed for people to fall in love. At least so says some study 20 years ago. And I wonder, looking over this list from the New York Times, why the Apostle Paul did not include these suggestions in his list, which I'm going to rename 16 Ways to Love in 2016. All right, so I'm going to call them that. That's obviously not what Paul did, but Paul also didn't really intend for these paragraphs in Scripture to become the number one chosen wedding text either. So, why did Paul write these? What was he going for? We're going to back up just a moment, just, 1,960 so years of moments ago, a few decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. Paul was a follower of Jesus, and he was a pastor to a number of churches in Corinth and Rome, in Ephesus and Galatia, just to name a few. And so he wrote these letters to the churches, not because he wanted them all to fall in love with each other, but because they were having some serious trouble figuring out what it meant to really be the church. In Corinth, apparently, the folks there wanted what they couldn't have. They were making a big deal about what they did. They were being cranky, doesn't sound like anyone I know, carrying around grudges and acting very full of themselves. They thought they were the only people in the world that mattered. And here they were, splitting right down the middle over all sorts of issues they couldn't agree on. And over and over and over again, Paul wrote to the churches about the importance of community, how everyone was equal in the eyes of God. But the church in Corinth was really struggling to put all that into practice. You do. In their hearts, they knew the stories of Jesus, and they really wanted to love. They wanted to follow his example. The Jesus who loved and accepted people for all their differences. The Jesus who brought good news to the poor, freedom to those in prison and enslaved, sight to the blind, and welcomed all the children. Jesus respected all people, especially those that the world thought the least of. And Paul was convinced of the power of community, of love in community, to make a difference, not just in the lives of the individuals in the church, but the whole entire world. And this is why 1 Corinthians 13 isn't just about the ushy-gushy, smushy, yucky love, but about this radical, communal love that enables individuals to imagine life in a community where unity and difference can coexist. But Paul wasn't naive, and so he didn't write a letter of flowery poetry without some reality. And I think that if he were to rewrite these words to the church today, he wouldn't be offering up some 15 ways the church could be better. Those surface resolutions or goals that they just forget about in a few weeks. As funny as it might sound to stare in the eyes of someone for 4 minutes, we know that that's not a quick fix, and what Paul is offering is not a quick fix either. For Paul, love was the binding factor in a diverse world. If love was at the center of their life and identity, then they actually had a chance to be an authentic community in spite of their differences. When we look around this room, take a look, not for 4 minutes, just, you know, glance around, you'll see differences, generations, genders, different spectrums of how we define family. We go to different schools, and we have different jobs, and our political views are all over the place. But here we are, Gates Presbyterian Church. We keep coming together. In this building, out in the world, because at the end of the day, the only way that we can be a better church, better people, is to keep loving. So how do we do that? 16 ways Paul offers us. They're listed in your bulletin as a little bit of a different translation as well. And of course, the original words in the Bible. So, love waits for as long as it takes. Love puts the needs of others first. Love doesn't want what it can't have. Love doesn't make a big deal about what it does have. Love doesn't think it's better than someone else. Love doesn't act like it's the only person in the world. Love doesn't have its own way all the time. Love isn't cranky. Some people I know look like this in the morning. Love doesn't carry around grudges. Love doesn't throw a party when someone else fails. Love. It's where God is. Love grits its teeth and keeps going when things are hard. And love holds on to the impossible. Love keeps looking ahead for all God's possibilities. Love never gives up. God's love never ends. May it be so. For you, for me, for all of us. And I'm going to invite you all, of all ages, to participate in the prayer stations that are set up here in the sanctuary. For the next 7 to 10 minutes or so, you'll hear that opening hymn we played play again when we're calling folks back to their seat. We do have prayer stations that are set up for folks who would just like to stay in the pew. You'll see that on the back. There's an insert in your bulletin in case you didn't see that. You can also practice the 4 minutes of staring into someone's eyes. That can be a prayer station. We have a baptismal remembrance here, one that's especially welcoming for young children. Make some noise over here. I won't tell you about the one in the corner, but please only take one. The one here on the communion table. We do, that one I especially encourage folks to be a part of because we will in a few moments have our ordination and installation of elders. And what a great way to celebrate that than with messages and ideas of how our new leaders in this church can practice love together. There's also one back here by the door, and if you're looking for a little bit more introspective, a little quieter experience just outside the sanctuary doors, you can also sign the Jamaica prayer cards while you're out there. Friends, let us engage the love of God in different ways, and don't forget to share some of that love with your neighbor as you move around the sanctuary. Let us worship God in prayer. I meant that. There we go.
Good morning. Keisha Binkle. I'd just like to share a joy. In the past 2 weeks, we have two brand new great nephews in our family. So prayers of joy for that.
Bill DeSoro, continued prayers for my mother, and she's still recovering from her medical procedure she had on Christmas Day. She's not been doing real well. And secondarily, prayers for my neighbor, Lori, who she's got two blockages in her neck at 90%+ blocked, and also an aneurysm in her neck, and she has she lost her husband a number of years ago to cancer, and she's got three boys, and I'd like some prayers for her. She needs them right now.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother, who's dealing with some health issues.
I'd like to ask for prayers for a couple, married couple, that are good friends of mine that have been both diagnosed with cancer. They are losing their battle. He was given two more months. They have a daughter who is a sophomore in high school and a son who's a sophomore in college that within the next year will lose both parents. So if you could pray for them. Thank you.
Carol Bosley, prayers for my sister-in-law, Joan, who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer Friday.
Christine Cook, prayers of joy. We made it through our third winter birthday. So as of Friday, Rachel is now 14. Last month, Tommy turned 15, and at the beginning of the year, Allison turned 16.
Jenny Smith, I'm asking for prayers for my niece, Debbie, who is undergoing breast cancer surgery on Thursday. Thank you.
I have prayers for my grandpa Bill because his legs hurt.
Support and sustain our efforts. Help us to honor all of the differences that you have created among this great and wonderful world, God. Help us to understand and celebrate rather than fear our differences. You have taught us to love. Help us to keep learning, to keep practicing, to keep loving. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. With joy and love, let us celebrate the great gifts of God's abundance with the morning offering.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, receive all our gifts we offer to you today. We give them freely, joyfully, and prayerfully. With them, we celebrate the great power that is love, a love that abides always, a love that radically transforms, a love that makes us whole. Amen.
Friends, at this time, you may be seated. It's all right, I know. What are we doing? Okay, you're good. Take a seat. We have the joy and the opportunity to celebrate together the newly, soon to be, ordained and installed leaders of this congregation, the elders, the deacons, and the trustees. I'm so glad that everyone of all ages gets to be part of this, because we are the church together, and our elders, trustees, and deacons, we serve everyone together in this church and God. And so we have a chance to learn and see who those folks are and what they do. Let us join first in a celebration of gifts. There's a litany there in your bulletin. In Christ, we are made one, and we all belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If your gift is to hear God's word, speak it out in faith. If your gift is service, live to serve others. If your gift is the heart of a teacher, teach what is true. We celebrate our individual gifts and affirm that we are all called in all things to do justice, love kindness, brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate in the name of Christ our commitment to nurture, support, and sustain the spiritual gifts of all gathered. May we be joined together in living out shared ministry, which emulates the life and witness of Christ. Holy God, bless this covenant of people ministering together, responding to the promises of our baptism. May we witness your gifts in one another. May we grow together in joy and wisdom as we venture forth praising your Spirit. Amen. All right, so at this time, I'm going to have the following people come forward. Serving as elders, Keith Hadley, Barb Chapman, J.C. Roshan, Bill DeCero, and Sam Dykes. We're going to make a semicircle right here. I know we get challenged in our geometry, but we're going to give it a try. Elected to serve as deacons, Barb Snaith, who will be serving a second term, and Allison Cook. You all would come forward, please. And elected to serve as trustees, Gordon Chapman, Mary Hadley, Roger Best, Sam Berkovich. You all would come forward. And we also have re-elected to serve as our treasurer, Tracy Berkovich. Re-elected to serve as our financial secretary, Vicky Gutile, who is ill this morning. All right. There we go. You guys did good. Nice job. So I ask all of you, friends, do you trust in Jesus Christ your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all, head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old Testament and the New Testament to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic, reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you? And will you? That was a trick one. And will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions. Will you? And will you be governed by our church's polity? Will you abide in its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you? And will you in your own life seek to follow Jesus Christ, to love your neighbors, to work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace, the unity, the purity of the church? Do you? And will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? New elders, just take a step forward, just so we know who you are. No, a big step forward. Come on. There we go. Friends, will you be faithful elders, watching over the people, providing for their worship and nurture and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies in the church and in your ministry? Will you try to show the love and the justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And do we, as members of Gates Presbyterian Church, accept Keith Hadley, Barb Chapman, J.C. Roshan, Bill DeCero, and Sam Dykes as elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we?
Amen.
Amen, we do. And do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? Amen. You guys may take a step back. Our deacons, take a step forward. Friends, will you be faithful deacons, teaching charity, urging concern, directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And do we, members of the church, accept Barb Snaith and Allison Cook as deacons chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we? Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? You can take your step back. Trustees and officers of the church, you can take your steps forward. Hello, friends. They don't have to answer any questions. It's all on us this time. Do we, the members of Gates Presbyterian Church, accept Gordon Chapman, Mary Hadley, Roger Bess, Sam Berkovich, and Tracy Berkovich, and Vicky Gutile as trustees and officers chosen by God through the voice of the congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, fulfilling their fiduciary responsibilities? Do we?
We do.
And do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we?
We do.
You may step back. You have agreed to serve as officers, as elders, as deacons of the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Friends, be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the light of Christ in this world. Now we have an opportunity to do something very awesome. Two of our youth elder and our youth deacon are the only ones this morning who have not been ordained. So we have this amazing opportunity to celebrate with the two of you in this special occasion of your ordination. So, Allison and Sam Dykes, you guys can stand right here. I know. Can I have all of the current elder trustees and deacons come forward and stand with us? Just the ones who are actively serving right now. You all, I know, because if I ask all of you, then I've got everybody. So we're going to start with these. Because we have enough, these are your marching orders, your loving instructions from the congregation in those questions that you all answered, some of you answered a couple years ago. You were asked to love, to keep loving. Did you not get one? I'm going to stick that out. I've got enough of them. All right, so keep handing them around. Here we go. So these will be hopefully something that you can tuck away somewhere, that you can pull it out from time to time to be reminded of the ways in which this congregation is indeed looking for your love. So what we're going to do now is to celebrate the love that God has for all of us, but most especially with you two in this ordination. We're going to do a laying on of hands, so I'm going to have you all form the first kind of layers here, lay your hands on, and everybody, if you would like to and are comfortable, you are welcome to come up. Laying on of hands in my theological interpretation is something the whole entire church does. So if you want to come up and lay on hands, you are all invited to, of all ages. And if you are comfortable staying in your pews, that is also just fine. And if you are, if you did decide to stay in your pew, reach out and grab someone's hand next to you and continue that love. I know it's candy. I blame him. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Sam and Allison as new elders and deacons, that they may be faithful leaders in this church. Give them wisdom and courage, humility and compassion to serve as the spiritual leaders of this family of faith. In all things, may they be servant leaders following Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Amen. Friends, you are now elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the light and love of Christ in this world. Amen. Y'all can find your seat if you would like. And let us sing our closing hymn together.
Thank you.
case you need a bit of a refresher on who those neighbors are, I encourage you to leave out this exit and take a look at the prayer station with the board that has all sorts of ideas who God puts before us as neighbors to love. I've got a few hearts, too, so if you're in need of a reminder of how God is calling you to love, you're welcome to take one of those as well. Friends, we go out, well, first to eat, do a little business of the church, but eventually we'll make it back out into that world where indeed God calls us to love with the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit to keep us going each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.